I want to share with you this morning from this passage of Scripture. It was in my heart this week. Again, related a few little things. I have talked to quite a few people lately of our church family, and let me welcome all of our friends on the internet and those on the radio as well. We're glad that you're part of our services today. But I've talked to some who have been, what they said, worshiping at home. Some folk can't get out, but they worship at home. Now, I want to encourage you, if you possibly can, to assemble with God's people. Don't forget about what the Bible said. You ought to be at the house of God, and you interact with God's people. You get blessed. Sometimes you don't get blessed by the preaching. Sometimes maybe not the choir. Maybe something else. Maybe somebody in the foyer somewhere. But just to be with God's people. The Bible said we ought to love one another, pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, all those other another's to one another. And he wants us to be a part of a body of Christ. It's a blessing to be a part of a church family. And so I think people ought to be in a church somewhere. But having talked with a few people who are currently not in a church home, and that is, they don't have a church family to go to, or they're not going to a church family, and they tell me we worship at home. We do our Bible study, and we just worship in our home. And there again, I want to emphasize to you that you ought to be in a church family somewhere. I encourage you. You need that. They need you. God gives you gifts. You're to use those gifts in that church. But I had this in my heart, and I've kind of dealt with it a little bit. I want to preach to you this morning about worshiping in the home. Worshiping in the home. If there's a failure among Baptists or at most any denominations, is that we go somewhere to worship, and then when we get home, it's a different atmosphere. You and I ought to worship at home. Our place, or our home, ought to be a place of worship. And as I go through the New Testament, I find that the New Testament church started in homes. There are several references that I could give to you. We won't take time to go to them now. But in the book of Romans, Paul's writing, and he's greeting different individuals, and he's greeting the church that meets at the home of a Priscilla and Aquila, the church that's in their house. Over in the book of Philemon, he talks about another church and another group of people, their church that's in their home. Now, they met in their homes because, number one, they were small in number. Paul has gone through an area and he's preached the gospel and so got saved. They were excited about it, and so consequently, they probably not involved in any kind of going into any other kind of gathering, like in the synagogues and those type of thing. If they were Gentiles, certainly they're not going to go back into the heathen setting they were in. And so they worshiped in the home. It was a matter of that they wanted to worship God where they could feel His presence. But as God blessed and more people got saved, they began to assemble. That's why Paul writes, and he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so God's people gather. I was thinking about it when the Lord was dealing with me about this. We got wonderful families. Mine's one of them. And it's growing and multiplying. And we've got quite a few now that's got so large at Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything, they have to have their family gatherings in the fellowship hall. And if Barry keeps on, he'll have to have his in the football stadium somewhere. What a blessing. But we get, families do that. And I'm thankful they can, isn't that a good thing they could come and have a family gathering in the fellowship hall for a special time like that? It's just a matter that it's got so big, they all want to be together, and that's the way they do it. God ordained that local church, and they've come together. The family got so big, they couldn't meet in homes, and so they started meeting in a central place, and God blessed them to do that. But the home worship is not to be neglected. In our church covenant, it says that if you join this church, that you will maintain a family altar at home. Now, and I'm going to do some confessing right off the bat. I'm going to read the Scripture, but I'm going to do some confessing. When our children were small, we would read the Bible with them, read Bible stories every night. And we were involved. We had two different churches I've pastored. We started Christian schools, had Christian school. So we had school 5 days a week. We had regular services. We had camp meetings. We had revivals. And so our kids were just about always in church. And being always in church, when they got it to be teenagers and a little older, and they would go in here and that and the other to karate or baseball or softball or whatever, and all those other things, we would pray at the table. We do those things. But I was head of the house, we didn't always have a family altar, and I have regretted that we got away from that. That's a time that we ought to maintain, even on up to the long as they're in the home. There ought to be some time when you as a family get together and pray and read the Bible. I'll say more about that in a minute. But at any rate, when those type of things are so important in the home, but there's some things I want to say to you about worship in general. I want to read the text, then I'm going to pray, and we'll get out of here I got 6 minutes. I've talked too long. Look here in Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter, if you will, number 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Do you remember in the New Testament, they asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? Now, he didn't say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, you're not having other gods before me. He actually quoted this, which is not a portion of what we call the Ten Commandments. He said, you're to love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. That's the great commandment, he said. And the second's likened to it, and that is that you love your neighbor as yourself. The heart of worship is love for our Lord. We worship Him because we love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. And notice now, connected with that, he goes on. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's a heart thing. It's a matter of the heart. We worship him because we love him. But now watch. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and thy gates. I'm going to leave off the reading there. He goes on and talks about what's going to happen when he brings them into the land. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would help us to understand, as we saw on a Wednesday evening, that we are to be worshipers. We do worship you, and we gather for worship. But our Father, worship is to be the attitude of our heart all the time. It ought to be that way, our Father, at church, certainly. It ought to be that way when we gather in special religious gatherings, revivals, camp meetings, or whatever. But Lord, it ought to be that way at the house. We ought to love you and worship you at home. And I pray, God, you give me clarity of thought this morning. I pray, God, for the anointing and power of God, the Holy Ghost on me to share with your people what you put in my heart. I pray, God, you'd make it easy. And I pray, God, make it simple enough that I could understand it and they could understand it. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I find a unique thing in the Bible, and that is this, that anything God tells us to do is not for his benefit, it is for ours. When he said you're not to steal or to kill or to destroy, those are things that guard your life and they'll keep you. When he talks about certain other sins and things, he's telling us that for our very own good. It's all about us. And the Bible said that he gave himself for us. And everything that he loves us with an everlasting love. And he's a God that giveth to all men liberally and braideth not. So when you come to worship, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ said that God's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, and God seeketh such to worship him. But why does he want us to worship him? Does he have any inadequacy? Does he have some sort of an ego problem that he's just got to have somebody to worship him to be fulfilled? No. And so it just came to me, got to thinking, he wants me to worship him for my benefit. I find in the Bible that he desires me to worship. He said, God seeketh such to worship him. And what he desires for us to worship him. And then He directs us in worship through the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to wonder how to worship it. The Bible, Spirit of God inside of us, we're to pray in the Holy Ghost and we're singing in the Holy Ghost and all those things. Spirit of God directs us into worship. And then He delights in our worship. He just loves for us to worship Him. But what about, why does He want me to do that? If it's not something that He needs or something He's got to have, some sort of validation, and He's perfect in Himself, and I believe there's something in it for me. What is it about it for me? Number one, if I worship Him in spirit and in truth, and I'm doing it really, I know this, it is for Him to disclose Himself to me. In worship, you see Him like He is. In worship, you acknowledge Him like He is. And I found that when I'm really worshiping Him, my mind is tuned to Him, my heart's tuned to Him, He floods me with other things. Brad was talking about it this morning, about he's thinking this week about Him, and when God got to speaking to his heart about things. When you're worshiping Him, He begins to show you things. You see, when you worship Him, you worship Him with all your heart. And when you get close to Him, it's kind of like John when he leaned upon his breast. You remember that in the Bible? Brother Avery Rogers used to say, that's a wonderful place to be. Because when you're leaning on the breast of Christ, He reveals things to you that He doesn't reveal any other time. In that closeness and that worship experience, then He reveals Himself to you. You know more about Him. You sense His grace more. You sense His mercy more. You experience His holiness more, His love more, the closer you get to Him. In worship, my dear friend, He discloses Himself to you. But I found this to be true as I go through it. I've been looking at worship through the Bible. When you worship Him, He delivers us. He delivers us. You cannot really worship Him and have a fearful heart. If you're worshiping Him, the things you've been afraid of or worried about, He delivers you from all of that. All the concern of the world, it's like it's shut out. You're in a little capsule, just you and the Lord, and the cares of this world have left. The worries of this world have left. The fears of this world have left. He delivers you from all of that. And for that moment, you have a time when you're in a state when you're close to the Lord and nothing matters but Him. He's revealed Himself as a God who has all wisdom. He's revealed Himself to you as a God who has all power. He's revealed Himself to you who loves you with an everlasting love. He'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. And my dear friend, what in the world do you have to worry about? He that be for us, and God is for us, who could be against us? I mean, if we're the delight of His heart and we worship in Him, He delivers you from the fear of man. He delivers you from the fear of the future. He delivers you from the fear of financial problems and burdens and cares. He lifts you even from the fear of death. If you're worshiping Him, my dear friend, there's no fear of death. You're in His presence in worship, and to think that you could multiply that a million times over, that's what it would be like to be delivered from this body and to be His presence forever and ever, never have another sickness, never have another disease, to be in His presence. But what about worship at home? I don't have time. I'll have to kind of finish this tonight. But here's what I want you to understand. It is imperative that we worship at home. I'll just give you a reference. He said, when you worship at home, you're to teach your children the precepts. You worship and you teach your children. How do you learn? How do children learn? They learn from education, for sure, but more from observation. When you worship at home, you're training your children to worship. When they sense you, when they know that you're worshiping God, they know that Lord's real to you. And I'm not talking about some, you know, walking around like you're holy, holy, holy. I'm talking about just loving Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. I'm talking about being in His presence. And just when they understand and see in your life something that's different, you worship Him. Remember in the book of Proverbs where it says to train up a child the way that he should go and when he's old and not depart from it? I've been thinking about that passage of Scripture. You're teaching him facts, but you're more teaching him faith. It says you teach him the way he should go. Now, you don't know all the paths they'll go down. You may not even be living when it's time for them to face them. But it is the way, it is the method of travel the method of life that you're teaching them. There are certain guidelines, sure, things that they must abstain from, things they should do, but it's more the way of life. You're teaching them the way of faith. It's not just facts, but it's faith. And that you're teaching them that way, to live a life of faith and trust God. When it comes time for study and testing and everything else, you walk by faith and not by sight. You teach them that way. It's more than just teaching precepts. It's teaching the matter of prayer. When you worship at home, you're teaching your children to pray. We lived in a certain place in Florida, and there was a dear friend that we knew, and I knew some of his children more than I knew him. But they went to a Church of God, and we had an occasion when I would be near where he lived at, and late in the afternoon, just about dark, every day if I was close to his house, you could hear him praying inside the house. I don't know how many people over the years have told me, and Brother Donnie Tippett's one of them, that I remember Mama praying for me when I was lost and out in the world. And the precept of prayer, the reality of prayer, you teach them the way. Listen, if you learn to walk by faith and you learn how to get a hold of God in prayer, you teach your children you walk by faith and not by sight. You teach them that God's real, God's there. You're worshiping Him at home. You're teaching them the way of faith. You're teaching them the way of prayer. You're teaching them the way of worship. When you know that Mom and Daddy's got a lot of pressure on them, but yet when they begin to worship God, when they begin to just praise the Lord at home, it seems like all the burdens and all the cares go. Worship Him. I'm not going to try to deal with all this. I feel like maybe God's got us to where we want to be. But here's what I want to say to you. I want you to worship at home. I want you to learn to just worship all the time. I don't mean just sit down and read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. But it is application of truth. He said, here's what you do. He said, you talk with them in your home, and then you talk with them by the way. When you're fishing, when you're working in the garden, everywhere else, it's a way of life for you. It's not, you don't have a little 15-minute devotional time or 5-minute devotional time. When you're training them, teaching them, it's every day, every day, every day, every day. It's a way of life. And if it's real at home, it'll be real when you get to church. Just love Him. Worship Him. When the problems come, the burdens come, and they see you go to God in prayer, believe in God. I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling a story many years ago. He went with his daddy to the banks the day the stock market crashed during the Great Depression. He said he and his daddy went down on an old pickup truck, and when they got to the little old bank there in a little town, Hendersonville, North Carolina, where he was raised, there's a pile of people around the bank. And they were saying, standing on the front porch, they said, there's no money. There's no money. There's no money in our bank. There's no money. It's all gone. And he said his daddy just broke down and turned around and went home. Said my daddy was crying. He was just down. But his mama was a woman of faith. And he said when we got to the house, he came in the house and he was walking with his daddy. And his daddy looked at his mama and said, called her name, and I don't remember her name now. He said, but we're ruined. We've lost everything. We've lost everything. Everything's gone. May said, my mama looked at daddy, and she pointed her finger at him, and she said, let me tell you one thing. We still got God, and God's still real, and God's on the throne, and everything we've ever had, God gave us. And she said, God will take care of us no matter what. He's going to take care of us. And you know what? Mays Jackson that time was preaching all over this country. And as a little boy, he said, Mama put in my heart to walk by faith and not by sight. And he said, God made it real. I'm just asking you this. Is it real? I may have told this. I don't believe I have. But a couple of times ago when the family was up and I had gone into my little office there at the house to read my Bible just a little bit on Saturday night, just before they'd been there, Bick and John, the babies, and all been there. And I just slipped in my little office there, left the door open, and I was reading my Bible and praying, just thinking about the service to happen on Sunday morning. And Hunter came in there, and he stood quietly for a few minutes. And then he looked at me, and I looked at my Bible. He said, "Papa, why are you reading that book?" I fought back when I was a little boy. And my daddy wasn't saved, but Mama had a big old black Bible upon her bed, and she'd read that Bible to me every night and pray that God would protect me and God help me and God would use me and all of those things. And so we did that. I tried to read the Bible with the children when they were little. And our little girl, Christy, when she, it was just before she died, not long before she died, so for some reason or another, she spent the night with my mama. And mama said, she didn't tell me until after she had died, but she said that night they got ready to go to bed and she was doing something, and Christy had climbed up on the bed, and she reached up on the back of her bed and took that old black Bible down. And she said, "Granny," said, "will you read me the Bible like my daddy does?" Can I tell you, God's been good to me over all these years, but I'm going to tell you, you need to make it real at the house. Do you worship in the home? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. I know I've just kind of rambled this morning, but it's something in my heart about it being real at the house. The way you train up a child in the way he should go, the way of faith, the way of prayer, the way of worship. God, the Holy Ghost will bless you. I was in line the other morning at Brother Johnny Dio's daddy's wake just before the visitation, just before the service. I was listening to people around me talking, and they were talking about Johnny's daddy. And they were saying he loved the Lord. He was just a simple country fellow that God blessed, but he gave God the glory. It was real to him. I don't know anything about how Johnny Jr. was raised. I don't think about their home life. But I'm just telling you from the testimony of people I heard, what he believed, he lived. If we don't worship him at home, they won't worship him at church. I prayed for these babies a while ago, and I pray for all the big ones and little ones that's sitting down here. I want them to know something from my life about the way. Train them in the way that they should go. They ought to go the way of faith, trusting Jesus as their Savior, learning to walk by faith and not by sight. The way of prayer. He said, "If you call on me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things." Everything we've got, everything God's ever given to us, it was by His grace and His mercy. And Lot came by prayer and by worship. Don't ever, ever forget Him. Worship Him and magnify Him. Glorify Him at home. Testify before your children about His goodness to you and how He's been good. And that everything your family's got, God gave to you. Worship Him at home. Make it real. Will you stand together? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will move on the heart of your people this morning. God, you made this so simple for me to understand and reminded me once again that, Lord, it's not for show, it's for real life. That at home we ought to worship you. And we teach our family the way, by the way we live. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to make it real to your people now. As we're waiting before the Lord, we're not going to keep you long. But I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Maybe just slip around this old-fashioned altar. Maybe some of you, like my nephew David, saved, know you're saved, but you've been out of fellowship with God a long time. I shared with Brother David something God shared with me while I was preaching revival last week. Old Peter walked under the water, but when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible said the Lord reached out his hand. He was right there at him. And I said, "You know what? You can get a long ways away from him, but he won't ever be very far from you. He's right there with you this morning. You've been out of fellowship with him a long time. I encourage you to get around this old-fashioned altar and just worship him a few minutes. ask Him to forgive you. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. Maybe this is where God wants you to be a member and love Him and serve Him here and have a place of worship as well as worshiping at your home. We invite you to come. Maybe you're not saved this morning. We invite you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there are good men, good ladies here who pray with you. I'll pray with you and help any way I can. But I want you to obey the Lord. Lord, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will speak to your people and will thank you. Deal with those who may not know Christ and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I'll praise you.